The speaker has already indicated that the GOP will be watching the president closely on this because it is a way of going around them to get this increase.
The president has executive powers pursuant to the Constitution, and these are not new executive powers. We would like nothing more than to have this issue of an executive order be moot by the passage of the increase in the federal minimum wage proposal that's on Capitol Hill. That will help, obviously, many, many more workers than the executive order. This is a down payment, and we look forward to working in a bipartisan fashion because, by the way, there is a long, rich bipartisan tradition of increasing the minimum wage. This isn't just an issue for Democrats, Republicans, or independents. It's an issue for all working families, and we need to reward hard work with fair wages. And President George W. Bush signed an increase in the minimum wage in 2007 or 2008, and Elizabeth Dole, one of my predecessors as Labor Secretary, she worked very hard to successfully secure passage of a minimum wage increase. And so we should continue this tradition because people need more money in their pockets, and we should reward hard work with a fair wage.
The biggest complaint you get from business owners, especially smaller business owners, is that affordability. How do you react when they tell you that?
Well, I've listened to business owners across the country, and I very much value their perspective. And what I've heard from them time and time again is that the most important thing that they want, the most important aspect of a business is their human capital, their workers. And they want to make sure that they have a loyal workforce. And I've spoken to so many employers who pay above the minimum wage because it is in their economic self-interest. 100 years ago, Henry Ford doubled the wages of people working on the assembly lines. It was seen as a radical concept. One of the reasons he did it is because he had an attrition rate of over 300%. And that costs money when you continue to lose employers. I'm confident that the executive order is going to lead to smarter government because we are helping employers who are paying more to make sure that they're able to retain their workers more. And so that's what I hear from employers, large, mid-size, and small, is that when we pay our workers well, we retain them longer. And that is priceless.
You've been urging Congress to stop stalling and pass the extension of the unemployment benefits. Do you see any movement happening anytime soon?
I'm very optimistic that Congress will come together again in a bipartisan fashion to extend emergency unemployment compensation benefits. It's a critical lifeline for people. And a month ago, there were 1.3 million people who had lost their benefits. Now it is 1.6 million, including over 140,000 New Yorkers. And these are people who went from hardship to catastrophe. And Congress, again, has a long, rich bipartisan tradition of increase of extending these benefits, including having done so five times, beginning in the administration of George W. Bush, always without strings attached, always recognizing that people are in this state of emergency. And so I'm hopeful we'll do it again. We continue to work on a bipartisan basis to get this fix in place, and we fully recognize that time is of the essence because people are suffering as we speak.
Is Buffalo on the right track to job creation, considering we're the third poorest city in the nation?
Well, I'm always bullish about Buffalo. It's my hometown. I got back to watch the Bills in December kick the Dolphins' butt. There's nothing more fun than watching that happen. And I'm bullish about the future. I noted that the stamping plant indicated that they're going to be expanding employment there. The manufacturing industry generally and the automotive industry in particular are moving in a wonderfully productive direction, and that benefits Western New York, and those are good middle-class jobs. The president's going to talk a lot about the need to expand our emphasis on apprenticeship and training, because I think there's a very bright future for people who work with their hands, and that's because advanced manufacturers across this country are talking about bringing business home. There are so many forces working in favor of places like Buffalo, New York, forces such as the cost of energy, which is really quite low. And so businesses that make things are much more inclined to settle here. And what we have to do is make sure that people in Western New York have the skills to compete for these middle-class jobs so that we can create more of them. And that's exactly what we're committed to doing in the Obama administration.
And you, of course, came from Buffalo's Latino community. What are your concerns for the city now as this population continues to grow right here in our city?
We want to make sure that people have the quality education so they can get good jobs, and they can continue to engage in lifelong learning so that as jobs evolve, they have the skills to compete. And we want to make sure that people feel secure when they retire and make sure that they have adequate and affordable health care. Over 10 million people have gotten access to health insurance as a result of the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Seniors are seen lowering costs in the prescription drug context as a result of that. These are all the building blocks of a solid middle class, and that is what we're trying to do. And the president's going to outline this year of action that will help create more jobs, pick up the pace of economic growth, and expand opportunity for everyone who wants to work hard and get ahead.
Secretary of Labor Thomas Perez, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great day.